these things pop up every once in a while. You made a joke about SARS.
Yeah.
Swine flu, bird flu.
I had which one was the worst?
You had swine flu?
Which one was bird worse flu? Though? Which one was worse?
I don't know.
I had the one that wasn't as bad, but that was terrible. I got it my freshman year on my birthday weekend.
Bird flu?
Yeah, and I didn't even quarantine. I got swine flu.
How did you know it was that?
Because they told me after the fact.
What?
I could have died, Tony. It was crazy.
Son, you're like...
I went to Club Miami. That shit's packed.
Wait, that's, you got it? Or?
Yeah, that is.
From club sweat?
Hopefully they can shut down all the clubs in this province in China, because that's how this shit be spreading.
Chills.
Send the link.
Welcome to Send the Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harrison with my co-captain, co-pilot, and co-frantic doomsday prepper, DJ. Are you ready for the impending doom looming over us all?
I don't know, man. I just made it out of a Mexican castle in which a helicopter crashed into the middle and everything got lit on fire. So
really?
One herring an event to another.
How did you get there? Did you flout international law to, I don't know, kill your son or something like that?
Extrajudicial killings?
Yeah, man. Everybody's fave.
Who's son? Ain't my
that's,
son.
That's the best kind of killing. When you just got around the law to do it.
Yeah. Everybody loves those tropes, right? You see those tropes, they're getting like a lot more, well, maybe not even more, but... A lot of our favorite movie stars, they'll do these movies now where like they're the old guy and then they have to go against the young upstart and they're used to their old rules.
You know, we used to kill people.
We used to just snap their neck or run them over or whatever the fuck.
What do you mean we can't murder these people, steal their cars?
Yeah, the rules. Yeah. I mean, I remember pretty well, like, this is like the plot of like 99% of Clint Eastwood movies.
Yeah.
So
he just wincing at like the youth and their stupid foolishness.
Yeah. Man on the mission.
Youth, what are you doing? I'm an old man who still likes to slap a motherfucker.
Well, we spoiled or hinted at a number of different plots. So
yeah. So if you didn't, in DJ, remember, we're going. Two of my predictions for 2020 are coming true.
Okay.
First,
good.
As we are alluding to, Bad Boys Talk. Bad Boys Talk.
Bad Boys.
And we'll discuss one of my other predictions later in the podcast.
Okay. What was your prediction about Bad Boys?
That it would be the most profitable film of the year, DJ.
Profitable?
Yeah.
What was the budget?
I don't know, but...
I know it did very well.
You know.
I was happy to hear that.
I want to say it is the most profitable film of the first 3 weeks, right?
I mean, hey,
you gotta start that's enough for me. Hey. You know, I'm like a genie. I give you the idea of what the outcome should be.
You're like Will Smith as genie or Robin Williams?
I don't know. Who's gonna be the next genie? Kind of, I want it to be like the Joker, where it's taken up by a new mantle.
Can we just not
Michael
do
B. Jordan?
Can we just not?
Stay a kid actor. Should everyone's mad at his rendition of the genie because he's so terrible?
I thought you were gonna go with like what's his name, Kumail Nanjiani.
I don't know.
He's Indian, though. What a genius.
No, but he's, but still.
Where's he packing?
But still, we're not ready yet. We're not ready for an accurate. No, it could be Rami. You watch Rami?
Rami Malek?
Yeah. Rami from the show Rami.
What show? Oh, the comedian dude.
Yeah.
I don't know. What the fuck are we talking about?
Nothing.
The comedian.
Nothing.
The genie.
We're talking about the future of acting, DJ.
Okay.
The future of performance.
Mm-hmm.
The future of society. You know where that leads us?
To the dystopia?
To the dystopian. Well, the lead of our dystopia. China.
China!
Because if there's going to be any future person to take up the mantle of genie from Robin Williams and Will Smith, it would have to be Long Xiao Shin, famous Chinese actor. Well, he hasn't been born yet. But, yeah.
Who was the... Wasn't there an Asian dude in Bad Boys for Life?
He was
funny ammo.
Yeah, he was
like Filipino.
Yeah, he talked mad shit. Like, I talk big shit. Yeah.
Yeah, Wilson was like, I fucked your mom. That was a harsh joke.
Spoilers, DJ.
Yeah, a lot of, I mean, it didn't actually happen, but it was a lot of shit talk.
Yeah,
a lot of code switching from Will Smith during the movie. Have you noticed?
I mean, he did it pretty well. He's
but it seemed like he parsed at times.
because of like he was like, oh, my marketing deal or something.
Yeah, because one time he said nigga please one time. Did you notice that?
I didn't.
He said nigga one time. And he said bitch and motherfucker. But they were all kind of like on the nose.
Yeah, he hasn't said it in a while.
That's what I'm saying. Like all of that shit talk. So
DJ restrained from my conceit.
Okay. Long Chao Chin.
Yes. The next genie will be a Chinese actor.
Oh, yeah. For the nice pander.
Yes. We've got a pander. We've got a...
The Disney pander.
We've got to appreciate our corporatist worldview, where all roads lead back to the most populous nation on the world. The most eyes, the most bellies. Yeah. Right? You gotta pay attention to them.
Most mouths.
The most mouths to feed. And sometimes, you can even feed those mouths in a Wuhan seafood market.
Ah, yes.
Yes. And get everyone's favorite coronavirus. DJ, as I asked you at the beginning, are you prepping? Are you ready for the next big event, baby? It's coming down.
You know, we thought it was SARS, but that kind of came and went. But this is the new hot thing.
I mean, well, while you sleep, though, this is related to SARS.
Oh, shit.
This is like, you know, this is like George W. This is SARS W. Bush, all right? Oh, shit. It's ready.
Coronavirus?
Yes.
I thought that's like when you get the beer shits after drinking a bunch of Corona.
just
like,
moist.
I got coronavirus.
Nah, man. It's the new hot sickness straight out of Wuhan, China, which basically causes people to get ammonia. And as of yesterday, thank you, Quartz and other various news outlets, it made its first touchdown in the great state of Washington State.
Oh, shit.
Were you aware of that?
I thought it was about to touch down in Chinatown.
Oh, shit. Honest. It's like, damn, I just went there yesterday. It's about to be Chinese New Year. Yo, this is the plot of the next Bad Boys. Oh,
it's like Mission Impossible.
No, like it's Chinese New Year. Oh, wait. What was it in Mission Impossible 2? What was it called?
Oh, the shit. Yes. Man. Chimera.
Chimera. Yes.
Damn, we did good.
Son, that shit was so good. It's very slept on, Mission Impossible 2. So
that shit was fucking wild.
It was hard.
Them niggas were like that exploded?
What's this called? What's this, my man with the doves? Didn't he do that one?
John Woo.
Yeah, that was a John Woo joint,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that shit was fire.
Yeah, boy.
That Chimera shit was fire, though. Remember?
I didn't remember what it actually did
to you. They, like, bubbling up, exploding?
Oh, damn. I don't want that.
That shit was wild.
If you are worried about Wuhan, the Wuhan virus, it's not going to bubble you up and explode you. So please, don't get frantic about our editorializing.
Close.
But it will give you pneumonia. So please beware. The latest issue with our health. You know, with DJ, a lot of these things happen, these health crises, they come up and you're like, oh, how does it come about? You know, people, remember the whole infamous Dave Chappelle joke about AIDS and fucking a monkey and all those kind of things like that?
I thought it was eating, was fucking the monkey?
Well, that was a joke, but okay, monkey eating or imbibing the wrong things. And I always wondered myself, how do these things actually happen? How do new viruses come about?
You have the... Well, I don't fucking know. I'm not a pathologist. Although I know...
What's your theory?
My theory?
Yeah.
Some type of chemical or genetic mutation. Also what's popular now, a lot of doomsayers are saying ancient viruses are now being released into the wild that had been stored in icebergs and whatnot. And because of global warming and climate change, they've now been released into the wild and in the water, and eventually will make its way to...
You sure this on the History Channel show?
Probably.
Ancient viruses.
right after ancient aliens?
Yeah.
Yeah, not the ancient aliens, Joe. That's my favorite high show to watch. Yeah, you had just mutations of sorts or bad combinations of things that produce these usually what viruses, right?
Yeah, so like I had to Google this because I was intrigued because these things pop up every once in a while. You made a joke about SARS, swine flu, bird flu.
I had, which one was the worst?
You had swine flu?
Which one was worse? Which one was worse?
I don't know.
I had the one that wasn't as bad, but that was terrible. I got it my freshman year on my birthday weekend.
Bird flu?
Yeah, and I didn't even quarantine. I got swine flu.
How did you know it was that?
Because they told me after the fact.
What?
I could have died, Tony. It was crazy.
Son, you're like...
I went to Club Miami. Got fucking swine flu. That shit's packed.
Wait, you got it? Or?
Yeah, that is.
From club swing?
Hopefully they can shut down all the clubs in this province in China because that's how this shit be spreading.
Chills. Okay, I had to come to terms with that. This is you like what is it? The joint where we'll back to Will Smith. I have legend and shit. You're effectively immunized and shit.
Damn near. You got the I've been at
it. It came back strong.
Yeah, yeah. I was MIA. My mom's. I was calling around campus and stuff. The campus, I think my RA had to like open the door to like see if I was in there because I was just like dead to the world for a day and a half, maybe like 2 days over the course of the weekend.
Man, glad you're here, dog.
Yeah, I had my dad's car. It was crazy.
That shit is wild.
Because usually when I get sick, I have one of the, I'm like irrational about it. I'm like, nah, I'll be good. So I just thought, oh, okay, maybe I got a little bug, a little flu. I'll just rest. So I was just resting, but I literally was resting out of commission for literally like days. And I actually had, yeah, I think it was swine flu.
Holy shit, man. You're a celebrity.
I didn't get quarantined. I knew some of my friends got quarantined.
No, you're making this really real for me because I was about to talk big shit about how nothing is not going to affect anything and no one I know. Wuhan virus. You're making it real. This is what conversations do.
Yeah, so you got to converse.
Indeed, man.
How did it start? Fuck.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Maybe.
So a lot of the times, it's not typically ancient viruses, but it is the idea of contact. In my head, I was like, yo, are shit's just mutating, like making like new fucking like diseases. But no, actually, it's cross-contamination in the sense that there's plenty of diseases just chilling wherever they are, whether they be in plants or horse doo-doo or wherever like disease naturally lives and flourishes. And a lot of times, it doesn't infect us, but it could infect us if one of those potentially mutated and could have a host that's human. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times it doesn't, but eventually you get, you know, apparently seafood-borne virus in this Wuhan market. Mm-hmm. People touching stuff, moving their hands, and they're like, yo, I like humans now. And then that's just how it pops off.
Damn.
So please watch out, y'all. Like it's growing. Apparently it's just a pneumonia scare. But it's this interesting thing because it is a group of viruses that includes SARS and MERS. If I don't know if you remember that, but that was hot for
the
a
rapper?
While. No, not him. He's not a virus. But yeah, man, just want to keep everybody informed of this public health issue. It's important.
Yeah, a number of people died there. Last time I checked, on the Times front page, it was like 17 people died.
Yeah.
And then you have the political valence of this in which China has now put the lockdown on that region and the news coming from out of that region.
Yeah.
And they have silenced and or punished any citizens or officials that have began to...
Public transit.
Talk about it.
Shut down.
Yeah.
And you know it's real when North Korea says y'all niggas can't come over.
Damn.
North Korea blocked all access to China, for Chinese immigration, they're basically going to be only like tourist partner. So, I mean, I don't know. It's crazy times, man. Crazy times.
I mean, it's been a while since we had a good global pandemic. So.
Yeah, that was, you know, a natural global pandemic. Not like ones that are industry-based. You know, these industry-based artists come up and they have backing and all that. Plants, as they say. You know,
the ultimate like Spanish flu.
Yeah, you know,
the plague.
Straight out of Barcelona, an original. Mm-hmm. You know, remember Anthrax? Come on, that's clearly it's Atlantic Records.
Anthrax was synthetic though, right? Or wasn't it human made?
No,
it was like it wasn't human made.
But it's like in a lab or whatever.
Yeah, they were able to make more of it.
Some super Anthrax, yeah.
Turned to a little dust. Remember they were sending it in the mail?
Yeah, man, that's good times. I remember that.
We all things were simple.
Well, you know, you just got things through the mail.
Okay, everybody was on the same page, just against the Taliban.
Yeah.
Trying to find Osama.
An easy enemy that we can all understand.
Yeah, I remember the day of 9/11. A family friend, he was like this crazy Rastafarian conspiracy theorist, veteran. And he was like, yeah, yo, shit's about to get real. I was a little kid. We were on the patio. He was like,
you're just like, yo.
Yeah, they're out there smoking, talking, and he's like, yeah, shit about to get real, man. You know, they got this shit called anthrax. They could drop it from the sky. That land on your skin, you dead. I was like, damn.
You're terrified.
Am I going to make 12? however old I was at the time. So, yeah, shit. I mean, you can get real with the unseen, whether that's from disease or from the other virus, technology. Tech virus.
DJ, I like what you're thinking.
I tried, but I caught it the last second, so that was not bad.
That was, well, you know, your mind is moving, and that's what I appreciate. That's why we do this podcast. DJ, as I said, Mm-hmm. As I said earlier, there was two predictions that I made that have come to fruition already. My Nostradamus hat is on. Mm-hmm. I'm levitating and shit. My third eye is open. Aura is on. It's crazy. My aura is fuchsia. Yeah. It's bugging.
Fuchsia. What does that mean? What does fuchsia mean?
Fuchsia aura?
Yeah, like
clairvoyance.
Okay.
Serendipity. Okay. Come on, man.
Okay.
Be aware. Okay. Not only is Bad Boys for Life, Bad Boys 3, if you're confused. Obviously, they messed up
there. Bad name. They're already developing the fourth one. Who the fuck? Why was it called For Life? That's a whole nother part.
Not only has that been a smashing success, but our first hot enemy off the streets, Big Saudi. Big Saudi's out here. Shout out to MBS. Upholding my, he's been in the works. He's been ready, even working for, I guess, a year and a half to open up 2020 as the hottest, most sassiest Bond type villain for 2020.
This is just a nigga with a lot of money. That's
like, a lot of money, a fresh outfit, and a flamboyant personality. You can't beat it. You can't beat it.
I've known him to be too flamboyant, but I haven't seen him.
Well, you see, Saudi. So, I mean, number one, that's
Haughty Saudi.
Haughty Saudi. Mm-hmm. that's flamboyant enough. I'm sure he has mad money and rich cars and shit. He's laughing. He's pretending to be like gregarious. And he murders people on the low. Like, come on.
On the high?
Well, it was on the low at first, then, you know. Okay. And went left.
He gave one of these like bullshit denials. Like, I didn't order for them to kill Jamal Khashoggi.
They were talking about doing it, and I was like, all right.
I said, silence him. I said, bring him. I need a piece.
I said, cut him up. He should never, ever speak again. I didn't say what that meant.
Shout out to Plausible Deniability, man.
Hey, it's the marker of both business and government.
Yeah.
DJ, everything we know about the Jeff Bezos phone hack, Wired, great article. Broke it down for you. If you don't know, if you're not aware, apparently a UN report has linked an attack on Jeff Bezos' iPhone, which is funny to me that he has an iPhone and Apple probably wouldn't like help. He was probably like, yo, if my phone got hacked, I'm like, listen, we don't.
Well, yeah, go ahead. Go with the rest of the details.
Which was connected to Saudi Prince Mohammed bin Salman. They had met. And in 2018, and then 2018 November, you know, they were, he's the richest man in the world, Mohammed bin Salman, head of the Saudi, you know, they text or whatever, WhatsApp, as one is to do. And he had sent Jeff it's funny, they met at a small dinner in L.A., it was a nice date. And he had sent him a video that was supposedly an MP4 file that was about Saudi Arabian economy. It's like, oh, Saudi Arabia, it's great, blah, 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 blah.
Wrestling.
Great.
Slave labor.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Women driving now. Whoa.
Whipping.
In May. By November, he got another text from MBS. This one with an image of his side piece, Lauren Sanchez.
Oh, shit.
Which was not out in the world that he was, you know, having an affair and all that. Which is like, oh, snap. How did he get this information? How would he have known? An attack on the richest man in the world. How did it go down? Supposedly, it was a thinly veiled taunt on Mr. Bezos that, you know, I got all your stuff. I got your info. And they had supposedly, in the report, noted that the amount of megabytes coming from his phone. This is how they figured it out, because not only was it encrypted, the actual virus or whatever, the WhatsApp encryption, it was trying to kind of hard for them to figure out what happened to Bezos. So I guess he spent the past year and a half being like, oh, my phone, I have to get a new phone, what happened? I have to go talk to the UN, they're going to fix it. And found out that it immediately started like hemorrhaging data, like after he got that video.
Yeah, because you can probably see like the uploads and downloads. Yeah.
And eventually they came to find out that it was from that file. It was sent by MBS, supposedly because of his ownership of the Washington Post in the relationship to the Jamal Khashoggi murder, which is kind of a funny thing because there's so many levels of, I guess, cynical power play stuff going on here between business and government, and then the idea that they had technology from NSO Group. Have you heard of NSO Group, DJ?
New student orientation?
Yes, yes, yes. They help students adjust.
Yeah, we did that. Yeah.
NSO Group is a Israeli. Like,
of course, God damn it. Honestly, I was gonna say that, but yeah,
it's like an Israeli, supposedly, what is the fake BS term for like intelligence group for like spy syndicate?
Yeah, I mean, they have a number of them. I know one, another one's called like Black Cube.
Damn, that's fire, that's a fire day, yeah, yo.
You know, just saying. So,
I'd go get a swine flu at the Black Cube.
Well, they're fucking for hire. So if you come with the bag, they'll find whatever info you need.
It's crazy, man. So it's I find it funny to me after this forensic analysis that like the Saudi government would buy this like stake in this Israeli company and just be like cynically talk about, you know, how Israel is evil and use this to attack an American trillionaire because of some articles that a guy wrote. It's just cynical all the way around. It's called Pegasus malware, by the way, if you want to cop some.
Nah, so I'm just most bemused by, I believe what I text you in all caps, just high-level espionage. Yeah. This was like an interplay between the two main people, though. This wasn't
definitely,
you know, hacking into Amazon. This is
that classical spy shit. Right. Sitting across from somebody, staring into their eyes, being snarky. Trying to put a bug on him. I don't know. You know I'm watching you. You know you're watching me.
And you still just get it on you in some fashion. So, you know, these are still two humans. Like we are, anybody is touchable or pregnable in some fashion. Although Bezos has more money than just about any other next person. He still uses an iPhone, and because I guess the Amazon Fire Phone flamed out.
He should be like the only one with one. pay for his own network.
Yeah, I thought he was still just trying to hang on with his Amazon Fire Phone. Like, nah, I got to use my own shit. Between that and uses WhatsApp, which is used by hundreds of millions of people.
Damn.
So as much as wealth can separate you from everyone else, there will always be things
and actions. The game.
Yeah, that are fair game, that are still accessible to everyone else and to the populace. And in this case, they just kind of, it just hacked them. Just
troll them and shit.
Right, it's just a level playing field. Apparently, this happened before the Khashoggi murder though. Although Khashoggi had been, consistently writing articles against the Saudi monarchy for years now. So I don't know if it was just strictly because of that or because...
Well, I don't know. I don't think MBS was trying it's to alluded it. That the hack was, but sort of the ups and downs of when he would send him a shit talk about his mistress or various things come after. Like,
coming into troll him, definitely. That's when he was able to use information that they got out of him for his own nefarious purposes. It seems like because of how stratified the world has become, with just the, not even the, you know, very wealthy, but like a super duper 0.0001% of people having so much wealth and power, we just see a lot of the same characters in all of the stories. I think we talked about this before. Like these are kind of like two of the, you know, five or six or seven niggas we talk about. Off and on these same link pods when they interact with our, you know, some of the main themes that we talk about, you know, such as the tech dystopia, the climate dystopia. Like these are some of the two, like leaders in that area. And they both don't appear to be going anywhere. MBS is relatively young. He's literally like in his early 30s. He's not too much older than us. He just happened to jump into a power vacuum in this petro state, and Jeff Bezos is a brilliant capitalist and is in charge of the biggest company, at least in the U.S. So
this reminds me of DJ. Did you like English class at all?
Did I like English?
Yeah,
I didn't mind English.
You know about epic poems.
Yeah, like the Iliad and whatnot.
Yeah,
I never understood why they called them poems.
But. Well, you know, that was before like prose is a form, really. Like written out stories really came to be a thing because people couldn't read and write. But the premise of
dropping bars.
Yeah, the premise of a lot of epic poetry was, in terms of motifs and stuff, was the idea of the great people. Like, there was never epic poetry about normies and like what normal people were doing ship people, and it's always about somebody on an adventure, kings and queens and all that thing. Kind of when you said the story we all live in, it kind of hit my head like, damn, we're living in Jeff Bezos's, you know, epic poem they're going to tell about.
In some fashion, I think it's still their own choose your own adventure. I mean, that's part of the point of, I guess, the two extremes of the main societal structures that we think of, whether it's, you know, capitalism or socialism. Capitalism is basically, or the libertarian strain is like, everyone is the star of their own story, right? And then on a more socialism, like on the far end, like a communist story, is like everyone is just part of the same thing and no one is intentionally standing out in that. So when you have the mix of the two, then you can still see the extremes. And I mean, it's always, you know, just great power theory and just motherfuckers that are lucky or people that are taking advantage of a certain moment, so on and so forth. So that's what we have. And because of such discrepancy of money and power, yeah, like these same people come up until something happens. I mean, because they're still human. Like they don't. I guess Jeff Bezos works out, but like he would lose an arm in a match.
Should have snuffed him.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can still walk up to him and snuff him, as you said. Like, he's not, they're not gods. They just happen to be living one particular life compared to you or someone else. That doesn't mean their life is more fulfilled or better than yours. They're just living a different story. So, that's not to, I don't think we have to diminish ourselves for the sake of just because.
Of course not, man. I'm just talking shit.
But their actions do have massive effects, right? So, much like, the Astros cheating story. Everything, every action has consequences.
Wait, what'd you say?
I don't know. I was just thinking of the Astros cheating
scene. Oh, yeah. It's funny because, you know, the article alludes to this too, but just like the idea of like how his relationship, MBS, what I'm talking about, with Kushner and Trump and all that. It's funny. You would think that like the flagrancy, which the way they handle their poor tech security would like put them in danger, but in my head I'm like, he's probably like fucking with them. Like he's probably like, yo, Trump's like, yo, we can get Jeff Bezos together. Just the idea of like the stupid shit that I don't know. I couldn't imagine what they would do. But you know what I was thinking about? How you know, Big Jeff, he's got shooters. How he could clap back at MBS, obviously he's got, you know, a big, you know, company he's with. But I think a capitalist organization as large and expansive as Amazon could find a way to hit someone like that in a specific way. You know, obviously we're not talking about shooters and murderers, but I think if he could
possibly,
if he wanted to get some sensitive data out of MBS, all he would need to do is implement maybe hundreds of thousands of rings in Saudi Arabia.
I mean, people would have to buy them, and then any monarchy is really a, what would you call it, an authoritarian state, so they would have to sign off on that. It's hard to pull off. I mean, but
The Amazon tentacles are crazy. Faction war, you know, you can talk to another princess, but yo, you know, you got all that. You're trying to decouple from the oil industry, fuck with big tech. Your country will like that, and then you can kill MBS. You know, you start Discord, man.
Start Discord. Is that what Amazon do?
Yeah. I mean, that's where we're headed, right?
I thought you were talking about the chat app. There's a chat app called Discord.
Oh, well no, not the chat app.
You can still use WhatsApp.
Actual Discord.
You know, Facebook calls himself being like mad hands off. So they'll just be like, yeah, you can use WhatsApp to take over the Saudi government.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with us. You know, yeah. That's not on us. That's WhatsApp. It's a totally separate company.
Same shit. Yeah, because that was your transition.
Yeah,
guys.
Yeah.
My mom was on something else. That's why I didn't pick it up. I apologize. Yeah. But yeah, I guess that brings us to our next piece, right? Do you have it up?
By the ring. Yeah. So it's funny. DJ sent me this, guys. This is a great read because it hits you at home.
Literally.
Pun intended.
Ooh, bars.
But also just because it's a for you homeowners, especially people that have porches. it definitely presents a world, a social cultural world beyond the tech aspect that's really real. And it invoked a lot of historical reading for me that I was like, damn, I gotta read up some old stuff. But who's watching your porch? John Herman. What's up, John? Ring offers a front door view of a country where millions of Amazon customers use Amazon cameras to watch Amazon contractors deliver Amazon packages. Woo! Vertically integrated, dystopian, corporatist world. Now you can be involved and watch people on your porch.
Yeah, get your own slice of surveillance capitalism.
DJ, you specifically, I say this to you because you have noted a history of an issue with package reception.
like actually getting it in New York City.
Yes.
Yeah, we've touched on that before.
It's become a motif in the pod at a certain juncture.
Yeah, somewhat. It's a living nuisance. Yes.
Now, with this technology, with Ring, which is almost spurred upon its success. The article talks about the history of it being on Shark Tank and then getting bought and all this stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But its current success is sort of reverse engineered by package theft, right? This idea that people get these packages or whatever, and they're like, yo, when is my package there? Is it there? I don't know. Somebody said it's delivered. I want to see.
And their largest marketing arm is the viral videos that they'll help share.
You seen these too? Like, I find them disingenuous.
A lot of them are really absurd. And you know what? To be honest, you have to think about so many interactions that happen, let's say just specifically in the U.S. every single day, that are just like nothing happens.
Right.
So
they kind of allude to that too.
Right. So of course you can find a sliver of 1% of the million plus quote supposedly rings that exist to where something something peculiar happened that could possibly justify having a ring for 365 days out of the year. But to your normal consumer, you're not going to get much of that. I don't know if it's self-defeating, but it's definitely one of these. We've fallen into a technological pattern where we're making a lot of extremely marginal technological advances, specifically in the intangible space, like just with cameras and shit like that, which are not totally invigorating people's lives. They're just like, oh yeah, I got a camera on my doorknob now.
Yeah.
And, the last example was some old lady who was locked outside of her home. She comes and knocks on the door across the street and nobody is there. So the security system just calls the police. Like, is
that, yeah.
Okay. I guess that's the word we're looking for. I think what this does is, obviously it has its benefits for sure. But
This is a thing I don't want to interrupt, but like the idea where you're going that I want to talk about, is it a benefit or a unnecessary convenience, you know, to have that? You kind of said about it's on the margins of this improvement. Is it worth it?
Worth is a loaded term. It'll be worth it in different ways. But for me, who pays attention a little bit more than, you know, your average Joe and sees particularly the surveillance capital state steadily encroaching, I'm not cool with it because we don't know the downsides to it. All this technology is still extremely new. And oftentimes when you see things linked to law enforcement, there tend to be disparate outcomes, particularly racially weighted outcomes.
Right.
So in this case, a lot of police departments are now...
They're hype on it, man.
They're hype on it because they want to survey more and they want to be able to have a lead on whoever this person looks like or to get a jump on them. And, you know, there's a reason why privacy is a extreme value in America because without privacy, it just leads to state overreach, right?
Right.
To the point where you'll have things used against you, which in a different context, they either wouldn't be, or they're overplaying their hand, or you just feel constantly surveyed for something that you didn't consent to. So they have testimonials from like delivery people that work either doing delivery specifically for Amazon or for UPS.
And they creeped out.
Yeah, no, like, doesn't shit just feel kind of fucking weird that I'm over here trying to drop off a box and...
Now I'm a suspect or something.
Yeah, not be suspect of anything or a camera is watching me. you know, like that is a legitimate valid thing. And that video thing is motion controlled and buzzer control, like ringer controlled. So yeah. It's always recording these people when they walk up. I have a coworker that has this, right? And for whatever reason, I guess their sensor is off.
They have a home, like a physical house.
Yes,
they have a home. Okay, I'm trying to figure out in the apartment.
Yeah, point. Okay. They have a, yeah, I don't know how the apartment should set up. But for them, and they have a driveway and all that shit, their sensor, I guess I don't even fully understand it, but the sensor is very light. So when cars, the guy gets notifications literally
just buzzing
persistently, because when a car drives by or some shit, it's like, oh, you got a notification, you got a notification. And that leads to like a sense of like fucking paranoia all the time when you don't know what it is that the notification is saying,
right?
Because the app doesn't really discern what exactly is happening.
Just turn the camera on basically, right?
Yeah, it's just like, oh, somebody's at your door consistently. So sure, there could be like countervailing technical solutions for these things, like something that everybody could consent to. Maybe there's a way to like blur people's faces or tell them to be activated if the camera using like machine learning or something like that could recognize what's happening, or if the camera was being like messed with or something right. like that. Potentially that, but even all that, it starts to just become like wears out its relative need or welcome. To somebody like me, like I'm not trying to live out in a fucking like paranoid ass world where I gotta be checking for everything. Like there are ways to check to see if my package was stolen or what have you. And maybe that does lead to a camera, but not a camera that is especially hooked up to the rest of the internet, so where states and police agencies and Amazon or which owns Ring has the ability to look at my data. And
that's the thing that I found the most peculiar about the terms of state and corporatist control, when you're like, oh, Amazon, my local police department, and also the third leg of that neighbor's function, where it connects all these videos in the nearby area, and you opt in to like see if like, you know, what's happening, or someone can like leave a box on your porch because they're not there. You can see like all this. It's just like a weird thing. And you said the thing about state control, man. It's just like Panopticon, man, is bringing it back. Like this is like, this is like that shit. And we're like, damn, it must be good to be like a philosopher and die and then like see your shit like later. You're like, oh, it happened, yo. Like I'm dead, but like it happened. Like it's crazy, man. Like the idea of Panopticon, y'all, prison with a tower. All the inmates are now around. Mm-hmm. And then the guard tower is in the center. And the guards can see all y'all, but you can't see them as an inmate. Gasp. And it's like, basically, the basic premise is like, yo, this is how, and it's in Foucault's work. Well, obviously, Bantam's work for the idea. This shit where...
Bars.
Yeah.
Foucault.
Michel Foucault. Discipline and punishment. The idea that the way society, especially as society grows, there's more people, and with the internet, we're all more connected. This shit is going to be used to not only control, but exert power over people. And it's the most efficient way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's about power efficiency. So am I going to sign up for a Ring on my door when there's already like, you got Alexa, you got a Ring, you got like Google, then there's going to be competitors. And now specifically with Amazon, the idea that network of eyes is like, it's crazy. You said it before, off pod, creepy. It's just like a creepy world, especially with the police aspect of it and how they're like using it, and not only using it, but like promoting it and like discounts and stuff to sign up for Ring, you know. Yeah. It's like, it's just a weird, weird space to be
in. And, you know, it definitely is a fraught topic. I mean, the decision whether to fuck with it or not is obviously black and white, but the pros and cons of it are definitely many on both ends. So there's like an addendum article to this that I read that I forgot about, is that there's a community like in the hood somewhere in Baltimore, in which community leaders have bought a bunch of these for their neighborhood in order to monitor, because there's so much, you know, crime of various degrees in the neighborhood. So they're using it literally as a mini surveillance state for the neighborhood. Like that's what it is. Now they're more explicit about it, and they have a more immediate need for it. But you have to take the cons of that as well. Like, if that shit really gets out of hand, or if somebody else, you know, some state actor wants to step in and whatnot, or they use whatever data against, you know, you or somebody close to you, then you're not going to be as keen to it as you once were. So there's no, oftentimes when you're posed with, when you're pressed with new technology, the impetus is to adopt it. Right.
Yeah. It's hot. It's cool.
It's hot. It's cool. It makes things more convenient. But you know, the latest phases of all of the surveillance shit is really running up against, I would say, generally like American and like Western European like values as we built them up. Because there's always been fucking surveillance. Like,
yeah.
This is just super convenient ways of doing it.
But just now it's become so easy. And yeah. People, are you bought into it? You're basically, maybe not. One person buys in and now you're a delivery man who gets into a viral video crying over cookies or something.
Yeah, like, a guy that was like fucking dancing. You know, like he didn't expect to be recorded about that. You know, like he didn't really give his consent. So, and if there's a technical solution to these things, then there's a technical counter solution, and there'll be like a technical counter solution to that. That is one thing that I can promise, because anything that is technical, I work in this space and coding and shit like that, anything can be subverted, can be broken, can be hacked. Any and everything. It's not within the, you know, physical world, so that always makes it tenuous. Because I can think of some type of, you know, few years off registry where you say, oh, I don't want my face recorded on any, you know, blur my face out on anything. Well, sure. But then I'm sure hackers or the state will be able to fix that as well.
Or to fire a technological Rorschach mask or shit.
Yeah, yeah. Something to blur you or for these UPS workers. But then at the same time, how the fuck are they going to know whether they're being recorded or not? You know? Mm-hmm. They're dealing with the same type of stuff in a different part of fucking China with the Uyghurs and all that type of stuff. It's a full...
If you need any proof to see where the shit could be at.
It's a full surveillance state over there.
Like big China.
Big China. Cameras everywhere.
Second place right now, but...
You right. Know, they have similar camera...
They're the favorites. They're the Clippers.
In other parts of that country, there are those... The same like doorbell cameras or cameras that lead into apartment buildings. And they record... They use facial recognition to record who's coming in and out of the building, how many times you came in and out, and that information, obviously they have back doors into the Chinese state or to employers and to this and the third. Like, oh, okay, Brandon, you didn't come to work today. We see you haven't even left your building, but you say, you know, you were sick, or you came back with cheeseburgers in the end or whatever the fuck. You know what I mean? It starts to slowly unfurl out when we make these relative compromises on our own privacy. And that is kind of the essence of like a civil libertarian type of ethos. And there are pros and cons to that. There are probably a lot of terrorists and whatnot picked up throughout the country that we never even heard of because of the massive surveillance state that we already have. But there's still pros and cons. The pros are everybody is not looking over their shoulder because somebody is fucking watching them or their cameras all over the place. So it depends on the type of world you want to live in.
I mean, I'm sure the world of, we talked about China, but, you know, the Stasi and freaking gulags in Russia, like all that like stuff, the people snitch on each other and like that sort of relationship with it outside of the big government relationship with it. It's also scary. It's just, to make a lot of cons. I don't know, like, if you steal my package, Amazon, just bite the bullet, and I'll have that be the rectification for the situation.
And we have human physical layers to that. There are systems in place. I'm not saying there cannot be any camera per se. I've seen technical solutions for, like, just a closed circuit camera feed for your house. You know, you can step along those, like, further along these lines.
Because part of that is that they were saying, too, like, it's like, nobody's watching all this shit. Like, the videos are causing servers to crash. And like, where are you putting that?
I guess that there may be like some, what's this shit called? Like a date in which they just cut off like the history. But there's no time for that. Now, I mean, data is relatively cheap now. But, you know,
video is someone who works a video. Like, First of all, nobody is watching it. Yeah. Like, to store it, and you have to get compress it all, and yeah, then you just have all this content of outside of somebody's house, mm-hmm. one person every day. For like, it's just, it's needless.
The scariest thing, I'm telling you, or the most realistic thing, is all of this shit is being fed into machine learning. I promise you that.
So just make fire advertisements.
And fire advertisements, just able to track like specific scenarios. It'll be able to tell, you know, Ring 3.0 5 years from now will be able to tell if somebody's actually stealing your package, if a UPS worker is actually delivering your package, if they're wearing a brown outfit compared to me today, if I'm wearing, you know, my normal great, like, you know, jeans and a t-shirt or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so there are pros, but those are, like, that same pro can be a con at the same time. So it could be tenuous, and I don't want my own security and privacy in the hands of some unaccountable corporation.
Yeah.
For one.
Because they're going to hack, too. I'm not giving Jeff Bezos my dad. He can't even, you know, creep on the low.
Exactly.
MBS.
Dick pics and getting hacked by the fucking
my data? You going to keep that shit safe? Hell no.
Yeah, man. So we're still, because our Congress and federal government is so fucking janky and slow, and so many of those people are really old and don't really know about tech, a lot of our stuff is behind and falling more and more behind as the days pass. But a couple of states are still getting to it. And eventually, I don't know, maybe we'll have to like readdress our general privacy ethics and laws and how companies can manipulate that or work within that space, that framework.
I love it. Well said. Well said, man. Hopefully we can be free of this tech dystopia and live in a peaceful, idyllic, feudalistic, pastoral land. It's called New Zealand.
What's good? New Zealand. Okay.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. I thought you were gonna go with the Amish. What's good with the Amish?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Just get that butter churning.
You know, churn that butter. Or live with like some of these. Well, who were they? Some of these like religious zealots. These religious zealots that live out in there in the middle of like in Nebraska and shit.
Yeah, man.
Damn, like back when life was simple. Nah, I need a little bit of Twitter though. We need to keep the shit balanced.
A smidge. Is it because you can live tweet the Grammys?
My frustration or my bewilderment, maybe. Maybe.
Potentially. I mean, it's good stuff. It's a lot of artists being nominated, i.e. Lil Nas X, other people who I don't keep up with because I don't know. I am washed. The wave has hit me, throw me on the shore, so I have a hard time. But
you know what? I'm not sure if it's you or if it's me, the both of us.
Or it's too much content overall.
TMC, yeah, too much content. Or, you know, I think if it's one thing that's for sure, the extremity of content and disruption of technology that interplay has, it's definitely affected the music industry all the way up into the Grammys. It seems as if the gatekeepers of the Film Academy are able to control it a little bit better, it appears. But looking at these Grammy nominations and with the awards coming up next week or this weekend. It just leaves me bewildered. I mean, I don't know what the good or tasteful music is out there as much as I did back then. But some of this shit, I just don't know.
I don't know. Well, some of it is heat. So, I mean, sure. I think we got to bring the guest DJ. I think it's happening. I think we're doing it.
Yeah, maybe you should be able to make some more sense of this.
Shout out Antoine Insama. Great writer all across OK Africa, Vibe, various places. And I like to say, friend of the pod. What's up? What's going on, Ant?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing good. Just out here.
Out here?
Trying to function.
Trying to out function? Here. Are you functioning yeah. with this level of trash music on this Grammys list? I don't know. Me and DJ were, you know, just getting ready, you know, getting prepared for the podcast, talk everything Grammy with the week coming up. And what did we... I don't know anything about the nominees. We were like, oh, best song, best record, and it felt just like a weird mismatch of stuff.
Maybe we're just getting really old.
Or maybe we're washed.
Yeah. I mean, I refuse to take on that title, but
This does seem to be losing me as well.
Yeah, I'm probably on the same wave as y'all, but I think part of it is just like I haven't really been that enthused with the Grammys in a minute. Mm-hmm. So the fact that
you're on your Jay-Z,
that this is just another year of just okay, cool.
Right. Do you
I don't think we're the only ones that feel that way.
Do you have any familiarity with the nomination process?
Not too much. All I know is that there's the Academy, the Recording Academy, and there are artists and folks in the music industry that are a part of the Academy, and they are given, you know, plethora of repertoires that have come out during the year that they're voting for or whatever, and they categorize and essentially rank. They rank, I guess, their top choices. That's how they vote, if I'm understanding it correctly. And then there's like a board that takes those votes, and then they in turn kind of like decipher who wins from there. Like they kind of narrow it down.
Okay. So with that, here's a kind of a question for you, and it kind of comes back to your piece, because we were talking about this mm-hmm. and trying to figure this out. All right, Burna Boy, hottest shit out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All
African
that.
Giant.
African Giant. Obviously, you've been deep diving in this way before, like, the rest of us got to it. What do you make of the whole growth of the whole movement, Afrobeat, other genres evolved, but also in terms of categories? We're like, world music. Like, what does that, like, what does that mean, like, to get nominated for world music? It's in English, but also, like, wasn't he nominated for reggae before your piece? It's just kind of like, what, like, I don't know. It had me kind of thrown.
Yeah. So I feel like just the whole notion of quote-unquote world music is a whole other conversation to have. But in short, it's ultimately an archaic category that essentially lumped anything that sounded quote-unquote tribal, quote-unquote African. But that was like the one nod that African and quote-unquote indigenous sounds would get in the mm-hmm. Grammys.
So you had to have a drum or something? You know,
yeah, you know, like even growing up when the world music category would come around, it would always be Lady Blacksmith Mambazo from South Africa. And they're dope and they're OGs and all that. But they don't necessarily encapsulate what African pop music sounds like and what it's been sounding like over the past decade at least. So it kind of just calls the question, like, if there are other international categories like Latin music, reggae music, like you said, like, isn't it time for an African music category, a category that kind of like showcases Francophone music from all over the world that's not like European? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I think there needs to be a huge overhaul as to how the Recording Academy kind of like nods to different sounds that are coming out of the Global South.
So you talked about, I guess, different genres that are being like put together, the Latin, the reggae, and then like obviously Afrobeat and like blown up everywhere. If we've gone to a club in the past 2.5 years or so, anywhere in the world, mm-hmm. I guess, it's one of the most popular mm-hmm. things ever. With the creation of categories, what does it mean right now? Because if low-key, all this shit is down in the same mix, right? It's just like the Latin, like you go to the club, Latin,
I mean, like the tempo,
reggae,
everything.
Like the tempo, yeah. Like it's all kind of like boom, boom.
Yeah, and you know, ultimately, a lot of those sounds have roots in African music, and right. There's always a cyclical exchange going on. Now, like what this means, at least to me, is that it's become more accessible, especially thanks to the internet and social media and artists being able to engage with their own core audience and even folks that are, you know, being in parties and coming across songs people post on social media as entry points to their music. Like there's a lot of like communication happening that never used to happen before in these different spaces. And on top of that, these artists are kind of getting wind on that and collaborating with each other because they're kind of realizing like, cool, like there's a way to maximize this. And also again, like the sounds are so similar and have the same roots.
So we can thank Drake for that, right?
Let's not.
Yeah, I think that was like a backhanded joke. But
Y'all are funny.
What would a, I guess already with these, this nomination and a potential win for someone like a Burna Boy, what would that pose for his career and also the further climax or amalgamation of Afro beats and that particular sound coming from that part of the world?
Well, for one, like I mentioned in my write-up for Vibe, like this is just a stamp on him being consistent in terms of his sound, in terms of his message, and who and what he represents. And the fact that like he has been able to show his range in terms of sounds that he's into, he's able to like look back and not and get pay homage to OGs like Angelique Kidjo. His collaborations again like were very, very deliberate and they actually worked. Sometimes you find with artists trying to cross over, you can tell like a lot of their collaborations are forced, but like with the collaborations that were in African Giant, for example, it really sounded organic and real. And I think for him, it's just a stamp, like what I'm doing is actually the right thing I'm doing. I should stick with it. And we can really only see what is coming next, which I'm really excited about. I hope that answers your question.
To follow up on that a little bit, I definitely have heard that album multiple times, and I definitely enjoyed it. I'm just curious because you're a bit more plugged into the culture and Afrobeats and his following and whatnot. Has any of the expected cynicism set in for maybe his more like initial core fans that maybe think that he sold out or went mainstream? Do they view, you know, his further emergence like just totally in a positive, or are they any OG naysayers still on his coattails?
I haven't noticed any naysayers about his rise and even this Grammy nomination. I think a lot of folks in the space who are of the millennial generation, even like Gen Xers, it's something that's encouraging to see because he's a peer in a lot of ways. And how he's been able to navigate the industry, people can kind of use that as an example. Like, he was able to actually make it work. Because there are a few people before him, not even too long ago, that tried, but it probably just wasn't the right time. They probably weren't with the right people. But between him being able to come correct with the quality music, the quality visuals, his live shows are great. Like, he did press runs. Not every African artist likes to engage with media in that way. And also on top of that, like, he has a relationship with Atlantic Records. So there's also that support from a major label who kind of went out of their way to kind of understand how to navigate rolling him out as an international artist, and it actually worked out to his benefit. So in terms of like reactions and folks' thoughts on what could happen this weekend, everyone's just kind of waiting for him to walk across that stage and take that award. And if he doesn't win, we'll just be like, all right, y'all like lost out.
Well, you met him before, right?
Yeah, I've been around him, yeah. And I've seen him perform a few times. He's like a straightforward dude, like not really much of a talker. If he's there for a purpose, he does what he needs to do. He dabs everyone up, like, what's good, y'all good, thanks for having me. And he's out, on to the next thing, you know, like he's super focused. And I think that's something that artists who kind of want to get to that level should probably pay attention to. Like, there shouldn't be any room for distractions. Like, just stay true to you, what you're trying to communicate to people through your music, and have a solid team, a team that gets it, and then you're Gucci.
Is that the big worry for most African artists, that it's just like all the extra other stuff that doesn't, not the music?
It's a lot of noise, you know, like a lot of extra noise and a lot of, in my opinion, how can I say this?
That was a deep sigh. About to get real?
Distractions.
I just think, at least over the past year or two, outside of Burna Boy, too, like, there are a lot of, like, sub-genres coming out of Afrobeats. And in that, like, Alte and things like that, there's even a resurgence of hip-hop coming out of Ghana, which is, like, Ghana's take on hip-hop and dancehall, kind of mixed with the tree language and things like that. People are kind of honing in on different sounds to create something different, because it's cool that Afrobeats has become mainstream, but to me, kind of, it's like, okay, everyone kind of sounds the same. Everyone kind of looks the same. They're talking about the same things. Like, what's next? And 2019, even, like, 2018, what were, like, pivotal moments, in my opinion, where people had no qualms to experiment, and these experiments actually worked. And so this is, in terms of Burna Boy's context, like, he's been experimenting from the beginning of his career, and he didn't really care, like, about what, like, you know, industry gatekeepers thought about what they thought he should be doing. He was always doing his own thing. So I kind of hope that with this Grammy nom and things like that, that encourages artists to be like, bet, I'm about to just do me and see what happens, you know?
Yeah, so it's come Sunday while watching the Grammys. Who's hosting? James Corden, someone, I don't know, somebody whack. And you see Ariana Grande walk across the stage for Album of the Year for Seven Rings. Is that everything you wanted, or Burna Boy? What would be mean more to you, Burna Boy or Ariana Grande?
Honestly, only thing I'm really caring about is the World Music Category. I'm ready to see Burna win. Also, Beyonce's album got nominated for a Grammy too.
And with that, the Lion King thing?
Yeah, The Gift. It got nominated. And
it was good?
They're even. Yeah, okay. It's decent.
You know what it is?
It's a compilation.
You know what it was?
No, it's a compilation.
It was Spirit.
Album,
I didn't like Spirit, but the album, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Spirit was kind of corny, but overall, like, it's a compilation album. There are a lot of songwriters that have been in the Afrobeats industry for a long time that have credits on the album.
Burna Boy's
on
there.
A lot of features. Mm-hmm. He's the only one that has his own song
right on
that album.
Great marketing.
So if Beyonce was able to snag that, then even more African artists will be coming home with a Grammy too. So that's really all I care about.
Dang, that was Sunday. Smart and mad poignant. You pulled it all together.
Right, man. Well, locally, at least amongst U.S. music, the more mainstream stuff, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
So like, this part of the conversation is much more interesting, because if I'm looking at...
Pop Smoke ain't getting an album of the year?
I don't even know if he has an album out. But your boy Lil Nas X did for 7. I didn't even know the boy put out a whole album. I thought he just sold 7 individual copies of Old Town Road with just different mixes on them or something like that.
No, he surprising. Came out with something.
And it seemed like sounded very positive.
Huh?
It didn't sound super positive. You said he came out with something.
I mean, yeah, he came out with something. Like, he was maximizing on the virality of Old Town Road, you know?
Yeah, and for sure.
He did what he had to do. Mm-hmm. And it's not even a long, extended album. Like, it's almost like he did what he had to do to make sure that it qualified for a Grammy. Like, everything is also very deliberate in terms of how artists put together their projects now, especially when it comes to the advent of streaming platforms. If you notice, there are a lot of songs that are shorter.
Yeah.
And it's just as catchy, because they want everyone to just have it on repeat. And that kind of, like, boosts their numbers.
Yeah, or TikTok, like, or what have you.
Stats and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's all very deliberate.
Any wisdom you want to drop on us about the music industry? Where is it going? What do we expect Sunday? Any well wishes? No, I don't know. Bless us. Bless us with something.
The floor is yours.
I mean, I feel like, just as I said before, super excited the fact that Burna Boy is getting this recognition, because he's worked his ass off for this moment. And it'll be even better for the movement and for African music in general, not just Afrobeats, to have this type of acknowledgement, because we're really the underbelly of the culture. A lot of these cats that have these nominations, like, kind of, you know, ripped it in a sense in what I call Afrobeats light.
Name names.
Where it's just... um... Do I have to? No,
I mean, she's trying to keep her context.
No, it's all good. You know, she's a politician. I respect it.
I mean, look, if it's on the radio and it sounds like a watered down WizKid song, that's Afrobeat light.
Hey, you said it, not me.
We know who you're talking about.
So because of that, it's good to see someone who's of the culture and has been kind of like a beacon for that sound and how you can experiment it and still stay authentic to get this recognition. Like, it'll be huge for the movement. And so we'll just have to wait and see. But I'm just trying to say good luck to Brenna. Also, like, shout out to Beyonce's album again, because there are mad people on that project that are just as deserving of a Grammy as well. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Thanks, Ant. Appreciate you coming through. Send the link pod.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
For sure, for sure.
So appreciate Ant coming through the pod, dropping that knowledge about all things Afrobeats and Africa in general with the music, and also, you know, other Lil Nas X's, his hot, thoughtful album, I guess. I don't know. I'm not up on hip-hop, rock, anything. I listen to instrumental music now because I want to hear about you and your thoughts. And your just give me the beat. I can put my own thoughts to it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't. I'm still bewildered even after our conversation with Ant. I get the Burna Boy, African Giant, and his emergence, and in some of the more narrow categories or genre specific categories, it begins to take on more of a perceivable form. But when you get into the more generalized categories, such as best album or song, I just don't know. And I think maybe that's just at my own fault, because I have historically just followed hip hop and to a relatively lesser degree, R&B way more than all of this other shit. Like, I don't know shit about Ariana Grande or Taylor Swift or whatever.
What about best comedy album?
Sure, it was they got a Dave Chappelle label too.
Yeah, they do.
I remember they put them on TV just for that moment.
The clout.
Yeah. They're probably gonna do this shit again, like just put Dave Chappelle on TV. Sure.
But I know I feel you about those sort of general categories, man. I'm kind of out here on a limb as well.
Yeah, and it just leave me like just fucking bewildered. Maybe is it just a. I guess it was just a week. It was a weak year musically for hip hop.
I don't know. Sonically, I'm trying to think about what happened, and I'm only really. I don't know about the big artists that make a splash. Like Drake's album was last year.
Scorpion came out last year. I mean, it was like a big.
So it's like him, and then your J. Cole's. He had a compilation album. Or something. Yes. I didn't listen to it. I think the biggest thing was Lil Nas in terms of. Rappity rap,
yeah, but that was
DaBaby.
That was a phenomenon. We can hold on to DaBaby.
Yeah, and he got I want to say best new artist joint. I want to say / hip hop. Like, you know, I don't the big heavy hitters. They weren't there in the hip hop world, in my estimation. Just
who are the heavy hitters? You have the main critical darling and Kendrick Lamar. So he wasn't mm-hmm. there. I guess that's like the more. Gaping absence. Drake was on last year, so I mean his shit didn't really come
best through. Rap album, Revenge of the Dreamers, Championships, Meek Mill, I Am Greater Than I Was, 21 Savage,
right?
Which is I didn't know that was yeah. that's thoughtful.
That means he's gotten better.
Igor, Tyler Creator, people said that was good.
It's fire. I enjoyed that.
The Lost Boy, YBN Cordae. People say it's
good. Pretty good.
So you know more than me. I know he's a thing. I know these people exist.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think any of these albums made like a huge. Like, I don't think their splash was so big that it even got onto mainstream radars to where these Grammy voters would be keen enough to even put them up for the larger nominations. So
I mean, the thing for me is that I think it's at a place where for somebody like me who's not paying attention, I mean, isn't this a singles world we're living in? It feels like I'm like, oh, these. When I think of a song of the year, I'm like, oh, I know that song, I know that song, I know that song, and it's like album. I don't even know the names of the albums, and it's just like, is that a product of popularity or the product of the zeitgeist. I don't know. It's just, I don't know if that stuff, rapidy rap bars, you know, on the quality of what that is important in the overall culture.
I mean, the best of them, they would still, they usually would not get totally nominated for like best song, but oftentimes best album for sure. I guess that's that spot for best album is being taken up by Lil Nas X. We didn't even know he actually had an album.
I'm not gonna lie, I did. I kind of played coy. Not that he had like three or four singles that would come out.
Really?
And then I'd be like, oh wait, the album's like eight songs. So I'm like, oh, I like that song.
Oh man.
And for me, like I liked Panini. That's good. You got Old Town Road. He's got another one that I know the name of that I like. That's three.
You know what? Say truth.
I need eight. I don't want albums with more than eight songs anymore, to be honest. Eight tops.
I'm going to go with a solid 10 to 12, maybe 13.
13 bold. I'll give you 10.
I throw these niggas away when I know they're not actually good. shout out to Lil Nas X for being a phenomenon and making the most viral of viral songs. And I hope he made every single dollar he could out of that, ringing that out. But do I think this nigga's going to be like a... Is he like an actual hip hop artist or making music or, you know, really going to be a fixture in my life or in public life going forward? I would bet against it. I don't wish anything bad against him, but because of that, I put artists like that that are just more of like an act, a phenomenon, into a certain category where I think Old Town Road should definitely win.
Here's a song Cardi B.
Okay, sure.
Rodeo.
There you go.
It was good.
Absolutely, Old Town Road should be. It's not song of the year. It's not nominated for song of the
year. Record of the year.
I was looking for the record thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's record of the year.
Yeah. So.
The recording.
Yeah, for sure. I'm 100% down with that. But record of the year? This is because. Oh, I mean, album of the year? I mean, this is because the voting structure and then countervailing that with. The relative disruption that we had discussed, where all these different voting bodies and record execs have to balance these things out, and relatively contrarily to the Oscars nomination and awards, the level of consideration and taste isn't there. There are definitely problems with the Oscars. Don't get us wrong.
Yeah.
We already know it skews to a older, whiter, more male crowd. But at least I can at least concede that there is a taste level there.
Because it's like, what's a good movie versus what's a good song is like a different right.
So it doesn't mesh one to one for sure. I definitely would give you that. But this is like, you know, Smurfs being nominated for like.
But what if Smurf made $1 billion?
Right, that's what I'm saying. But
Black Panther got nominated.
Black Panther is a fire movie. Is Black Panther all considered a great? You made a
All right. I mean, it's been 2.5 years. I can say it.
Oh, you getting off the wagon? No more Wakanda forever.
Black Panther.
Oh man.
Was
yeah, Brandon? You got to get out the POG studio.
It was mid.
It was mid.
It was mid.
Wow, that was the biggest revelation in this podcast.
It was mid. It was. I mean,
wow.
All right, Michael B. Jordan can't act.
I'm with you on that.
He's ass.
Yeah,
he got CGI. They ran out of money or some shit, and then
towards the end, though,
it just was like the fight was like, what is happening here?
I checked that off because every superhero movie it has the culmination scene. Every action and superhero movie has that final set piece
where it just can't pull it off.
It's just incomprehensible. We just got done watching Bad Boys for Life. The last set piece makes no fucking sense, like literally at all, and just doesn't make any sense. You see the scenes, you see just like incomprehensible things happening. So I've just given up on that.
Fair. Let's not belabor it. I don't want to lose my black card here, but I get what you're saying.
You got close.
I don't think about the way music is interpreted and imbibed in the culture now. I would say that the tastemakers, who are a lot more nebulous than the tastemakers of the Academy are,
Right.
They're just looking out there what's hot, and it tends to fit a certain bucket where the pop things are significant, some rock album that nobody listened to, even if people know what it is, some other sort of very, a jazz standard. Like, it's just like the most random amalgamation. It would be like if the best horror movie, the best comedy, the best, like, concert movie were all, like, in the same best picture thing. So I think your trepidation about this whole process is, you know, understandable.
Yeah, I don't know if my tastes or my observations have just changed. I just feel like I'm more distant to it than I had been in, you know, over the past, I don't know, 5 to 10 years.
Yes, the cold touch of cynicism.
But I don't know, maybe I'll just have to go back and take a look. I mean, obviously...
Let it seep into you. Let it fuel you.
Obviously, it's always been absurd, and there's always been just massive controversy around the winners when... You know, Kendrick Lamar, like critical and commercial darlings like Kendrick Lamar and Beyonce and Jay-Z or Drake, like they don't leave with the top honors. But I just don't know. Maybe I just need more time to gestate on this, because I don't see it. Like, I don't see an even playing ground of like a relative amount of mainstream appeal. I get that, but also the taste. I just don't see it.
I mean, that's a fair point, man. I guess we'll see this coming Sunday when Lil Nas X is walking out with a handful of Grammy Awards. And there'll be that picture will always live. People will talk about how it was a big deal, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, more power
to him. Somebody you didn't even know is one step closer to getting an ego. Like, they'll be like one random person, like, oh, shit, they got nominated for best book reading? I didn't know. So I'll take it with a grain of salt at this point. Hopefully next year.
Yeah.
The musical scene will be a lot more powerful.
It just makes me less eager to talk about it. And I think as an institution, it's definitely been waning over the years because of people having these same conversations. And that kind of sucks because its rep is kind of like self-perpetuating, and the importance to even enact for having a Grammy is still relatively there. But I don't know if that's just waning over time, if it just everything seems so insignificant or just blowing in the winds of whatever is Old Town Road aside, but whatever is hot at the moment or making sense on whatever fucking Billboard algorithm that they're using to calculate record sales at the moment.
It's Afrobeat.
Looking at the rest of the list, I mean, shout out to Lizzo with her two earworm songs that are like 3 years old.
Yeah.
She's nominated for Best New Artist. So her shit is fine. Like, I mean, stuff is just weird.
We'll see, man. I'm just trying to stay positive that I will learn what music is out. It's time to Google, time to spend a whole night listening to YBN Cordae.
Yeah, and I need to speak to more white people to get more in on the Bon Iver wave. Like,
yeah, and I know he was a thing like 10 years ago, right? Like, and like, he's still hot. I don't catch me. Catch me, man. I don't know. It's been another great Send the Link, DJ. I think we've had a powerful episode. The streets is watching. Beware of any sort of thing with a camera. Know where you might end up. You might end up. Your affair might be out there. Your dancing might be out there in the world. It's never safe. It's never safe in these streets. So, you know, feel safe with sending the link.
Yeah, and do that, and also wear like those clinical masks that all the little Asian women wear.
Oh yeah, then you're good. Yeah. No one knows who you are.
Okay. Killing two birds with one stone. There we go. That's how we end it.
Send the link. Well, watch out for the Wuhan, y'all.
Woo-ha!